Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 53. Psalm 53. Psalm 53 and verse 1. And the first part of verse 1. Psalm 53, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And our subject this morning is foolish atheism. Foolish atheism. Well, we come to this Psalm 53, and there is an almost exact duplicate of this psalm in Psalm 14, practically the same words. But this psalm, well, it's very clear what the message of this psalm is. So clear, in fact, that it barely needs a sermon to be preached on it. These first words particularly, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So very clear. But these are the words that are put to us, the words of David. It's a psalm of David, and we know, of course, who David is. We visit the psalms very often in our morning service. David, King David, the son of Jesse, writer of so many of the psalms. We all know this. And David here is, well, he is speaking of the foolishness of men, the folly of men, of wicked men, who say that there is no God. That is what is the theme of this psalm. One great Bible commentator, Matthew Henry, in the Puritan age, he said that this psalm is a description of the depravity of human nature and the deplorable corruption of a great part of mankind. Very strong words. And so this psalm is describing the nature of the unbelieving world. And we live in an unbelieving world. Everyone around us practically is unbelieving. And so as we go through the verses of this psalm, we will learn much about the world around us. And this is the theme, because when you come to words such as this, the fool hath said in his heart, the temptation is to try to give an apologetics message, to try and prove that there is a God, and to give you certain arguments as to how that is. But I'm not going to do that today because, this psalm doesn't attempt to do that. And in fact, the Bible does not seek to prove that God is real. In no place in the Bible do you see a concerted argument trying to prove that God is real. It's assumed that God is real. It's a given. As far as the Bible is concerned, it's so obvious that God exists that it would be a waste of time to try to prove it to you. And in fact, the Bible says if someone does not believe in God, well, the reason or the problem is actually in them. It's not in God. It's not in anything around them. It's in them. If somebody doesn't believe, the issue is with them. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So I'm not going to give an apologetics talk this morning. We're simply going to look at the reasons and think upon the reasons why people do not believe. Why do they not believe? And by doing this, well, God willing, it may help some here or some listening to find their way to God. These words, well, they sound very condemnatory, and in many ways they are. But these words, actually, they're meant to wake us up. They're meant to wake you up so that you know, if you were in any doubt, that there is a true and living God. Yes, there really is. That's what these words are designed to do. There is a God. One who sees us, one who knows us, one who is living, and one who calls every single one of us to know his salvation. That's what we should all come away with at the end of this message. These words are to wake us up, an alarm call, as it were. But the words, of course, they're very simple. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Well, the first thing to say, of course, is that the world is very offended by these words. The world is very offended. I remember some years ago, the Trinitarian Bible Society, it was about 10 years ago now, they ran an ad campaign, an advert campaign on the London buses. And certain Bible verses were displayed on the sides of London buses going throughout central London. And well, they were bold enough to put this verse on the side of a London bus. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So many people saw it around London, and so many people complained. They were offended. How dare these Christians, how dare they say that we are fools for not believing in God? There were so many people, they were outraged. And this is the attitude of the world nowadays. We are not fools, we are wise. They think they are wise for not believing in God. They tell us that, actually it's the Christians who are fools. They seem to have reversed this verse. For the world, it's we Christians who are the fools. If you tell somebody, your next door neighbor or people on the street you live, that you are a Christian or that you believe in God, they will most likely look at you in a funny way. You are a fool. What, you believe in God? That is so foolish. That is how the world thinks. People will think you are crazy. Some people will think, and I've had this many times, that you're not educated. If you believe in God, you can't be an educated person. You must have limited education. You must be ignorant in some way, because an educated person would never believe in God. That's what people think nowadays. An educated person, well, he's a free thinker. He's a rationalist. An educated person believes in science. They don't believe anymore in these superstitions, in all of these religious things. No, an educated person is much better than that. If somebody believes in God, that means they're not really very well educated. You wouldn't really have anything to do with them. They are the fools. That's how the world sees it. But how does God see it? When God looks down from heaven upon the children of men, well, when God looks down, it is the other way round. The atheist, he is the fool. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And we must remember that, because that is what the word of God says. But there are, of course, as I've already mentioned, many who do not believe in God. Now, when you do not believe in God, you know, it dramatically affects the way you live your life. You may not think it. You may say to someone, do you realize that the greatest influence on your life is whether you do or you do not believe in God? They will say, no, that's not true. But actually, it is. What you think about God dramatically affects your life. For starters, if you don't believe in God, well, you will live just for this life alone. You'll live just for the here and now. You will live for the pleasures of this world. You will live for the entertainment of this world. You will do everything you can in this life because, well, there's no God. There's no afterlife. There's no nothing after this life. This is the only life you get to live. So you have to make the most of it. And that will determine everything you do. You will just focus on getting the best out of this life and living for this world. That's how you will live. But if you believe in God, well, you won't be like that. You will know that there is something after this life, after this world. There is an eternity. God has told us this. God has told us this in his word. There is an afterlife, and we have to be prepared for it. Every single one of us, we have a great journey to take. I remember once I was giving a funeral and I gave this illustration. If you were to go on a holiday or go on any journey, well, you would make sure you were prepared. If you were going to another country, you would pack your bags, you would choose what you were going to wear, you would make sure that you were going to get to your destination, you would learn of the place that you were going to. If you were going on a holiday or a journey, you would do all those things. But you know, at the end of our lives, we're going on the greatest journey ever. We're heading into eternity forever and ever and ever. And so many people have made no preparations whatsoever. They haven't even thought about it. They haven't thought about what comes after we die, what comes after this life, after this world. They haven't given it a moment's thought. So unprepared, so unwise, so foolish. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They're just living for this world. And this life is so short, 70 odd years, and that's it. Then we have eternity. Don't you think you should be prepared for that? But if you don't believe in God, well, that is so foolish. You're just living for this life and you're not thinking about eternity. You're not thinking about heaven or hell. And that is so unwise. Of course, if you don't believe in God in this life, well, you become your own God. If there is no God, you are the God of your life. You're the one who rules over your life. You live how you please. You live according to your own standards. We spoke about this last week. You live according to your own standards. You live according to your own morality. We reject the commandments of God. That's what the unbeliever does. He looks at the Ten Commandments and he says, well, we don't need to take any notice of that. These commandments, they're not God's commandments. There is no God. These are the words of men. So we just reject those things. There's nothing special about them. I can make up my own rules. I can devise my own morality. And that's exactly what I will do. That's what we do when we don't believe in God. We make our own morality and we live according to our own standards. But dear friends, again, that is so foolish. It's so foolish because, well, the Word of God says that there will be a judgment at the end of our lives. We will have to stand before God in judgment. And how is he going to judge us? Is he going to judge us by our own standards? No. He's going to judge us by his standards. His standards. That's the measure whereby he will judge us. This is so foolish to think that we can live good and moral lives according to our own standards, to our own thinking. We just make it up as we go along. What's right, what's wrong? That's so foolish. You are not God to decide what is right and what is wrong. There is a God. He has his standard, his high and holy standard. It's foolish. If you never think of him, and if you live by your own rules and your own morals, it will not end well for you. Living according to your own standards, living according to this world, and living entirely for this world. You will ultimately live a life that is immoral, and you will stand before God at the end of time, and he will judge you according to his standard. You will be a fool in front of him. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. But something else we have to add, and I've often mentioned this, sin itself, living a life without God, makes a fool out of you. It makes a fool out of you. That's what sin does. It makes us foolish. We think of, it's the first lesson that we learn in the Bible. Sin made a fool out of Adam, the first man. Adam? Well, when we think about Adam in the Bible, yes, he was the first man, but we can't help thinking he was a fool. He was an absolute fool. He had everything. God made him good. God made him upright. He had the perfect environment. He lived in the Garden of Eden, which was a perfect place. He had the perfect surroundings. He had the perfect companion. He had Eve. He wasn't on his own. He had the perfect wife. He had everything. But he threw it all away. He was such a fool. But what turned him into a fool? Well, he rejected God. That's what turned him into a fool. He acted as though there was no God, and he sinned against God. He acted as though God had not created him, as though he owed nothing to God. He acted as though God had never given him a commandment, when God had given him a commandment not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Adam just rejected that. He forgot all about that. Adam acted as though there were no consequences to his sin, when God told him there would be consequences for his sin. The day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Adam just forgot all about that. He acted as though there was no God who had spoken to him, no God who had created him. And that made a fool out of him. Now, when we read of Adam, of course, we think to ourselves, what a fool he was. But that's what sin does. That's what sin does to every single one who turns away from God. You know, you look at this world, you look at this society now, the modern day. Aren't there so many foolish things? There are so many foolish ideas, so many foolish beliefs, so many foolish philosophies. People seem to have lost all common sense in the last 40, 50 years. How can you explain this? It's because of atheism. That's what happens when you reject God. The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. And that's what you choose, utter foolishness. Sin makes a fool out of you. Unbelief makes a fool out of you. And dear friends, we have to understand this. It may have happened to you in your life. You've rejected God. You've gone your own way. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And well, so many foolish things have been done. Sin has made a fool out of you. You've done things you never wanted to do. You've said things you've never wanted to say. Sin has led you to places you don't want to go. Sin has made a fool out of you. That's what sin does. The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. Now we read from the prodigal son as our second scripture reading. And well, he was a fool, by the way. Wasn't he a fool? We won't turn to it in its entirety, but you know the story of the prodigal son. He left his father and he went his own way. He took all his money and he thought, I'm going to live a life of sin. And he squandered all of his money on harlots and indulging the flesh, riotous living, as it is described in chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke. What happened to him? Well, he was made a fool out of, wasn't he? He ended up feeding the pigs, the swine, and eating the food of the pigs. That's where sin led him. This is what it is. Sin promises you a wonderful time. Oh, just forget about God. Just do what you want. You'll have a wonderful time. But where you actually end up is something very different. And that's where he ended up, eating the food of swine. But remember what the prodigal son did. When he came to his senses, he said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That's what he did. That was the one wise decision he made. He saw his foolishness and he decided to go back to God, back to his father. And well, remember what happened when he went to his father. His father, even when his son was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, that's how God receives us. No matter how foolish we have been in our lives, no matter how far we have run away from God, if you make that decision to go back, he will always receive you. If you say, as the prodigal son did, I will return to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against thee, God will always receive you. Even though you're a long way off, he will come, his arms outstretched to receive you. Dear friends, what is your state? What is your standing with God? Will you not return to the Lord? Now notice what this verse says here in Psalm 53, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Why do people not come to Christ? Many people don't come. Why is it exactly? Is it because they don't understand the message? No. The message is very simple. It's so simple, even a child can understand it. The gospel message, we are sinners. We are all sinners. That's what the gospel says. That's what the Bible says. That's what the psalm here says. Look at verse 2. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We're all sinners, not just some people, not just murderers and dictators. We're all sinners in the eyes of God. So that's simple to understand. We're all sinners, and God is holy. God is holy, and because God is holy, God will not tolerate sin. God must punish sin. We understand that. So what comes next? Well, God has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be punished in our place. Instead of us being punished for our sins, that which we deserve, the Lord Jesus Christ has come and he has said, Father, punish me instead of them. I will take their punishment. And that's what he did on the cross. Simple. He was our substitute. He suffered in our place so that we may be forgiven. The gospel is very simple, dear friends. Everybody can understand it. But why do people reject it? It's not because of the head. It's because of the heart. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You know, I'm sure many of you have heard the gospel many times. I know you have. And you think to yourself, you know it's the right way. I know it's the right way to follow God and to repent and to have faith. But it's your heart that refuses. Your head says yes. This is the right way. It's the heart, dear friends. Well, I can't change the heart. No preacher can change a heart. We pray to God. We say to those who are seeking the Lord, you want to come to Christ? You must pray to God, Lord, change my heart. Change my heart that I may love you, that I may desire the things of God, that I will no longer reject you as I have been doing. It is my heart that is the problem. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Change me, O Lord, that I may be wise, and that I will say in my heart, Lord, I believe that Christ has died for me. I trust in him. I know he is the only way to God. Fill my heart with love for him and for the salvation that is to be found in him. That is what is required, dear friends. You turn to the Lord in prayer and he will receive you, just as the father did the prodigal son. These things, they're so very simple. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And well, may the Lord bless these things to us. One more thing just before I close, because you know this verse, I've addressed it mainly to atheists and those who would say that they're out and out unbelievers. But you know, you can meet people, you sometimes do meet people who come to church and they would fall into this category. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. How is that? How does that happen? Well, it's like this. Some people come to church and they do all the religious things and they dress up nicely and they sing the hymns and they give their money, their offering and so on. But you know, they don't really think that there is a God actually. Because when they leave this place, they just go back to the way they were before. They live like the world. They live just for this world. They don't have any hope of eternity. They don't think about eternity at all. And they don't really know God in their lives. They don't have a relationship with God in their life. They just think that being religious is enough. If I just give my money, that's enough. If I just turn up at church, that's enough. I don't actually need to know God. There isn't a God. There isn't a God to know, to have a relationship with. It's the same thing. You can be religious and yet say in your heart, there is no God. I don't need to be saved. I don't need to be forgiven. I don't need to be born again. All of this is rubbish. Dear friends, I make my final exhortation to those who profess to be believers. Yes, this is applicable for atheists, but I have to say this just in case. There are people here who say in their heart there is no God, who will leave this place and live as though they are atheists. Dear friends, may the Lord bless us, bless our hearts, that we will be sincere believers and love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. May the Lord bless these things to us.